Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Meltdown by Chris Clearfield and Andras Tilksik. Sophie, I have to ask, did this book make you a little paranoid about, like, everything around us?
Hi there, Sam.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those books that makes you see the world differently. The core idea is that as our systems, technology, organizations, even hospitals get more complex and tightly connected, failures become not just possible, but inevitable. And the scary part is that we often miss the warning signs until it's too late.
Right? And they start with this framework from sociologist Charles Perrow. You have complexity, how many interacting parts there are, and how unpredictable those interactions are, and tight coupling, which is how fast a failure in one part spreads to others. When you put those together, small mistakes can cascade into disasters before anyone can react.
Exactly.
And they give examples like nuclear power plants, aircraft carriers, and financial markets. But what's wild is that it applies to everyday places too. An emergency room, a software team, a corporate accounting department, they can all have that dangerous combination.
I think one of the most powerful concepts they introduce is the normalcy bias. When things start going wrong, we interpret ambiguous signals as evidence that everything's fine. The alternative is just too uncomfortable. So we rationalize warning signs away.
Right, and that's exactly what happened before the Challenger disaster. Engineers knew cold weather was a risk, but they couldn't effectively communicate it to decision makers. The authors call it a failure of voice, when hierarchy prevents critical information from flowing upward.
And that's tied to power distance. In organizations where junior people are afraid to speak up, you get blind spots. The book uses that example of nurses who notice subtle changes in a patient but hesitate to challenge a doctor. That kind of dynamic can be deadly.
Then there's the concept of drift. Systems move toward failure through small, incremental adjustments. Each change seems reasonable, but over time you end up far from where you started. The Mount Everest disaster in 1996 is a perfect example. Climbers kept making small decisions to push forward, and together those decisions led to tragedy.
Yeah, and they talk about bracketing too. We want to assign blame to a single cause or person, but complex failures almost never have a single cause. It's a chain of small errors, each necessary but not sufficient on its own. Aviation accidents are like that. A cascade of small missteps.
But the book isn't all doom and gloom. They also show how some organizations manage risk really well. The nuclear Navy, for example, has a culture of deference to expertise. Anyone, regardless of rank, can stop a procedure if they see something wrong. That's not just a policy. It's ingrained through constant training.
And they talk about the aggregation of marginal gains, which I loved. The British cycling team didn't look for one big breakthrough. They optimized everything from hand washing to pillow design. Each tiny improvement added up to a huge transformation. That same idea applies to building resilient systems.
They also emphasize creating a rich picture of risk. Most organizations rely on narrow metrics that miss what's really important. A hospital might track infection rates, but ignore a deteriorating safety culture. You need multiple perspectives. Bring in people with different backgrounds to challenge assumptions.
One of the most counterintuitive insights is that success can be more dangerous than failure. When nothing goes wrong for a while, people get complacent. They take shortcuts. They ignore warning signs. The authors call it the paradox of success.
Right.
And technology adds another layer. Automation can reduce certain errors, but it also creates automation bias. We trust the system so much that we stop paying attention. Then when it fails, we're unprepared. That's a big concern in aviation, where pilots who rely on autopilot can struggle in unexpected situations.
So what do they recommend? I really like the idea of pre-mortems. Before a project starts, you imagine it's failed and work backward to figure out what could go wrong. That forces you to think about failure when there's still time to prevent it.
And they suggest creating red teams or devil's advocate positions with real authority. Those roles need protection from retaliation, or they're just window dressing. Also, simplicity is key. Adding more rules often makes things worse by increasing complexity.
The book ends with a call to take failure seriously. We've built incredibly sophisticated systems, but we haven't built the capacity to understand the risks. The organizations that manage high-risk environments best aren't the ones with the most brilliant leaders. They're the ones with the most humility.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library's on 7minutebooks.com/app. They have over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access.
For me, the takeaway is that building resilient systems isn't about avoiding failure altogether. It's about creating cultures where people can speak up, where assumptions are challenged, and where vigilance is maintained even when things are going well.
That's exactly it. The choice is ours. Keep building complex systems without thinking, or learn to recognize the warning signs. We'll see you in the next one.